Well, we have three writers with us today, and I'm always happy when we get a chance to have some writers with us. I'm going to begin by just asking each of you to introduce yourself, age, grade, you know, the routine, and if there is anybody you would like to thank or acknowledge for the impact they've had on you, this would be a great time to do that. To Cammy, since you're all the way on the right, I'm going to start with you.
Awesome. My name is Cammy. I'm 16 years old, and I would really like to thank my dad. He's been a huge inspiration for me, and he's helped me a long way from where I started in like elementary school with my writing journey.
Hi, my name is Addison Will. I'm 15, and I'm a rising sophomore at Bethel Park High School. I would like to thank Mr. Bellini, my English teacher this year, for this opportunity, and my family for always being so supportive.
I'm Elizabeth Ballett.
Hang on. Go ahead. I'm sorry. My fault.
I'm Elizabeth Ballett. I'm in eighth grade, and I would like to thank my whole family and Ms. Rigsby, who was my English teacher last year, for helping me write the project.
Well, it's nice to have all of you here. And Elizabeth, I made note about your, I'm sorry, Cammy, I made note about your dad. How did he help you?
Well, I am self-published on Amazon Kindle right now, and he has paid a lot for that. And also, I'm going to this thing over the summer, and he's paid a lot for that, and it has a lot to do with my writing.
So he's been an underwriter of you trying to help. Well, that's a good way to grow in confidence. I'd like you all to talk a little bit about writing and why it's important in your life, and feel free to talk to each other, too. Elizabeth, is there a reason that writing matters to you so much? You have to be pretty devoted to write as well as you do.
Thank you. And writing matters to me because it's a way of conveying experiences through multiple people and can be passed down throughout and influence people.
Any other thoughts about the importance of the actual art of writing?
Whenever I feel super upset in some sort of way, I always write, and it comes so much easier. It's just such a nice way to get out all of my emotions.
That's Addison, and that's really good. It can transform you into a different mood or place. What do you think, Cammy?
I remember that Nietzsche said something about an experience dying the minute that you try to put it into words or something. But I think that he's very wrong about that, because there are so many ways, like you said, to convey a thought or an expression or an emotion in the form of art, which in this case, it's writing. And you can do a lot with the infinite amount of words there are. It's like you stitch a tapestry together with sentences and with the letters inside those sentences, and I just think it's so beautiful.
Addison, what is your process for writing? Do you kind of know in advance what you want to do, or can you break it down?
So I've read in like a lot of creative writing books that you're supposed to maybe write down a plan for what you want to do. But usually I get an idea for a vague idea for where I want to go with my story, and an idea pops out of nowhere for where I want to start, and I just start writing.
Can you two relate to that, or is there another method that comes to mind too?
I used to write like that a lot too. And then somebody showed me last year an app called Trello, and that's what I use to organize a lot of my thoughts, and that's how I prep before writing.
So Trello sort of allows you to, one way to use it is to collect post-it notes or
basically,
kind of mini.
It's like map out. It's basically like a very complex notes app, right? Like lots of different sections and mini sections. So if I have like I'm working on a very complex novel right now, and I have to map out every single character and like the major plot points, the conclusions, the exordium, the specific scenes, and Trello really helps with that. But other than that, yeah, I also just write and let the characters take me.
What do you think, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I kind of just get it all out on paper, and then I go back and I fine-tune it, depending on how I wrote it the first time, if that makes sense.
What advice would you have to people maybe a little younger than each of you, or really to anybody who struggles with writing?
I would say to your ego might get a bit bruised and you get humbled a lot of times, but each of those instances help you become a better writer depending on how you take it. Like you'll find that there are ways that your stories lack and there are ways that your stories are strong, and you want to do the most you can with that knowledge. And help in the form of criticism is not always a bad thing, and it's usually a very good thing.
But I think an important part is just don't underestimate yourself. Always go for it, because I had no clue that I was going to be here in this room. If you told my sixth grade self that, I wouldn't know that. But a lot of my teachers encouraged me to keep writing and everything, and I really think that was an important part. And also keep reading.
Yeah. Yeah, reading is really helpful if you want to write. Thoughts from you, Elizabeth, to add?
I would say don't compare yourself to others' writers, especially people who have it as their job. And also find your writing style, because not everyone's going to be the same.
Now, your writing style perhaps is similar, but your content can't be similar at all. In your case, Elizabeth's piece is a memoir, and it's called Fortunately Unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I know you're not going to share any of it this morning, but can you talk a little bit about why you chose memoir and some of what you dealt with?
Yeah. It was for an English project inside a school, and my teacher is kind of just like, pick whatever you want to do, whatever makes you feel comfortable to write about. So I wrote about when I was in France, we had a ton of terrible things happen, and then something really good came out of it that changed the week that we were in the Nice. That was the toughest week of the trip, and then we moved to Villefranche-sur-Mer, and then it was great after that. So in a way, we were fortunately unfortunate.
So you documented time you spent in France. Over what? How long were you in France?
Two-ish months, like a bit more than 2 months.
Wow. So you've got a finite period to reflect on and to share. That's, I think people are really going to be interested in reading it if you choose to make it available to read. And it had to be really cathartic or therapeutic, I would think, to write that. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Tell me, Cammy, about what you wrote.
The work that I'm most proud of, I got the concept for between 8th grade and 9th grade, and I was actually like writing it currently. It's basically in the far, far future, like I have it set right now at 2095, there are like experience pods, quote unquote, that people live in to escape reality and like live virtually, completely virtually. And it's about these very different types of people in very different lives and how they go in these experience pods. And they realize that this perfect virtual reality is actually like horrifying and terrible, but they're stuck there, so they have to live with it. And if you guys like, it was vaguely inspired by the Backrooms, if you guys like heard about that, but it's more like psychological.
Can you give an example of what an experience pod might be like or what you might feel inside of one?
So there's this guy named John Iris, and he creates a bunch of robots who they've made the experience pods a reality. And the robots, like, have you sit in a chair and close your eyes and put the pod around your face and body and all that. And you're basically unconscious. Your body is, but in your mind, you are transported to, like, this white void, and there's many rooms. There's, like, a central atrium, but for every person, it's different. Like, you can purchase different colors of packages. Like, if you purchase the blue package, your experience is going to be way better than someone who purchased, like, the red package, which is more cheaper. Like, there are different rooms you can go in, and there's, like, a swing room where the swing lifts you up and then flings you across the room, and then you're, like, your knees break.
But you're sitting still the whole time.
Yes.
It just the experience lasts
forever.
Hours?
Forever.
Forever. How do you eat and keep yourself alive?
You don't.
You just sit in the pod.
Yeah.
Crazy. So that your story is called Summus Novus
Mundus.
Mundus.
Yeah. It translates to the newest world. Also, that's a riff on Columbus's The New World. It's like kind of a nihilistic view on how we're going to change in the future and like how our laziness might eat us alive in the end. But I tried making something like that based off of something that we had to analyze in ninth grade.
We were talking very early this morning about 1984. Mm-hmm. Is that a work that certainly this isn't necessarily a derivative of that, but that must be a book you relate to a bit.
Yeah, I definitely was reading 1984 like while working on this. And also, there's like a spin-off version of 1984 called Julia, and it's entirely from Julia's point of view. And it's like, if you guys are fans of 1984, you really have to read that one because it's like, it's very, very, very good.
That's new to me. I didn't know about that. Now, Addison, you actually brought some work to share with us, and this is the perfect time to do it. Would you like to talk a little bit about it ahead of time and then share what you wrote?
Yeah. So like Cammie's, mine is also a science fiction. So basically it's about robots and AI taking over the world. And yeah. Delilah. The voice whispered into the night with longing. The temptation was too hard to resist. I knew who it was, and a smile crossed my face. Yes, I whispered back, gazing out my window at the shining stars in the dark night, and listened to the echo telephone. You're still awake? The voice was soft and gentle. Of course I am, I whispered back. Theo, when will I see you again? When the world settles down and the stars shift back into place. I thought about everything, the world that we've come to. How was it possible? One day, humans ruled the world. The next, IntelliBots. It had all happened so swiftly. Our not-so-clever leaders had dropped an IntelliBot on the front doorstep of every house in the country, replaced cell phones and laptops with echo telephones and cell use searchers, and eliminated social media. Then, they delivered IntelliBots to every factory and business. They ran schools, but only IntelliBots went because us humans were chained to our homes. At last, the apocalypse was here. Then, the robots took many to the chain vault, capital AI, seized government control, and commanded the rest of us to stay inside, claiming themselves to be the superior race. They swiftly ordered us to listen to what they had to say. We had created these robots, and they claimed to control us with unfair reasoning. I returned to the echo telephone conversation. How I've missed you since the apocalypse began. Theo, when do you suppose it will all be over? There was a pause on the other end. Delilah, I can't talk much longer. Please keep talking to me. I love hearing your voice. No, Delilah. They've come for me and my family. They're surrounding the house. My parents have already surrendered, and I... Don't. Theo, come here. My family can take care of you. You can't promise a thing like that. Why not? Delilah, you'd be sent to Chain Vault right after me. My words were then pleading. One moment. Can't I have that at least? just to say goodbye? He paused, and at last, once I'd thought he'd hung up, if you wish, he succumbed. I took to the streets running. I was nearly halfway to him when we collided. I held him tight. The familiarity of soft lavender and fresh lemons, even a tint of pine from the forest he's ran through, made me want to cry. Theo, you came! But his face said it all. It wasn't long until they found us. A chill ran down my spine as Theo and I turned at the same time. We came face to face with a robot. A zap ran through me, and the world blurred. Soon enough, I woke up with no recollection of the past 24 hours. I glanced at the horological alarm. I was in my bedroom, late on a Sunday night. My Echo telephone rang. I answered. Delilah. The voice whispered into the night with longing. The temptation was too hard to resist. I knew who it was, and a smile crossed my face.
That was pretty amazing. Let me ask Elizabeth and Cammie, any thoughts you want to share on what Addison just brought to us?
I like the specialization of the telephone being the Echo telephone. Like, can you tell me more about how that got its name?
So I take French in school, and I really like French, and écoute means to listen, so I called it the Echo telephone.
Awesome.
It was really good. Yeah.
Thank you.
It was good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and congratulations to all three of you. I should mention that all of the writers that you are hearing today, Elizabeth Addison, who just read, and Cammie, were honored by the Scholastic Art and Writing Awards. I'm glad your story talked about artificial intelligence a little bit, because I planned on asking each of you if you have, well, what your current attitude towards AI might be with respect to the influence it has on your life. And I say current because I think everybody's attitude is emerging and evolving. But does that strike a chord with any of you? Do you think at all, do you use it? Do you think it's appropriate to use?
I was actually just thinking of this like yesterday before I went to sleep. There is like a clear difference between generative AI and the AI that most medical people use, which AI has been used, quote unquote, under our noses for a very, very, very long time, except generative AI calls more to people's laziness and like uninhibition, which it doesn't really help a lot of things. It helps everyone not use their brains more, if that makes sense. But like AI using in like algorithms and stuff like that to make our lives subtly easier, I like that AI. That AI is quote unquote helpful, whereas like ChatGPT and those like image generators should be used sparingly, or if not at all, because they don't really, they like hinder people instead of help them in the long run.
Sometimes I use it for like specific names, like generating names like Delilah. Oh, what does the name Delilah mean? Sometimes I do it that way. But I generally like to use my own personal, what I like to call AI, Addison intelligence, for the rest of my story.
I love that.
That's a great way to put it. What about you, Elizabeth?
I think that it can be used in some things, but overall, it will never be able to fully like match human intelligence. And the inaccuracies in it is really dangerous when it comes to certain topics.
Very astute observations, and who knows where it's all going to go. I want to thank each of you for being here today. Is there anything either any of you wanted to say that I didn't give you a chance to?
If you're out there thinking about pursuing a career or doing anything further in the humanities sector of things, please if that's your passion, then absolutely go along with it. Like, my school is just filled with STEM people, and I think it gets a bit suffocating for people who like art. So if you have a passion in your life, then go all for it. Like, don't try to tell yourself that it's not meant for you, you're not meant for it, because you are meant for it.
That's great advice, and there is an article, I forget the source, but the headline was Silicon Valley is hiring philosophy majors now because there's a need for people that can think about the nuances of things and the human factors, probably a growing need for that. Elizabeth, Addison, Cammie, thank you for being here today.